This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. Alrighty, welcome aboard. Yes, sir. Woo, sun now breaking. Yeah, glare coming off those beautiful new Acura vehicles. Yeah. Woo. All right. Blinded. I was Manfred Mann right now. I'm getting blinded by the light. Woo. All right. Welcome aboard. It is Friday. You made it. My voice is kind of making it, I guess, for now. We'll be back tonight again. Obviously, this is one of those weeks where it kind of puts a challenge into my voice, because we got to do a lot of shows at once. We obviously last night addressed everything going on with Chop Robinson. I know a lot of talk and all that kind of good stuff. So I appreciate all of you out there. I know there's, as always, there's a group of unhappy fans. I can tell you from some of the information that I have gathered, they got what they were targeting, basically. And they were targeting a defensive player, and they were not going to move out of there. They wanted Chop Robinson. And listen, all I hear are good things about Chop Robinson. I hear a ton of good things. By the way, let's see. Saw him play live a couple times. Good hustle, bend. Obviously, like everyone, can over-pursue, but his demeanor and consistent pressure stands out. Right? This is one of my friends, scouts. Professional scouts. These are real scouts. Outside speed rusher with a high-level motor is another one, by the way. Has to evolve his pass rush game from speed, from just speed. No. Has to evolve his pass rush game from just speed and get off in the snap and add some power rush and counter move elements. But the skill set is there. I like the pick. He scouts for another team. He doesn't have to tell me that he likes the pick. Okay, doesn't have to tell me that he likes to pick. Talked to a couple other guys yesterday. They love the character. I'll give you my favorite quote about him last night that somebody sent me. This kid wants to be a real pro. That's it. He goes to me, the guy's work ethic is off the charts. He's got great character, all of that. But he wants to be a real pro. Like, this guy wants to put in the work. This guy wants to be great. You know, that kind of stuff. It's not like I'm just looking for my NIL money. And, you know, let me go take my pics and let me go be on social media. And it's me. And, you know, and create bullshit hype and all that kind of stuff. That's not what he's all about. He's a guy that he's a character guy. And I know that people get all hung up with the whole sack stuff, but I remember Calais Campbell ran like a five in the combine, and he fell to like the end of the first round. And it was like, no, Suggs. It was Terrell Suggs. That's what it was. Terrell Suggs fell like he was, didn't he come out like of Arizona State or Arizona or some shit like that? Look it up or something. So Terrell Suggs comes out and he runs like a 5.140 or something, and he falls to the end of the. And he had, my God, I want to say he had like 36 sacks in his college career or something. It's like, and he ends up becoming, you know, a great player. Arizona State, right? Okay. And then I remember Jason Pierre-Paul was a one-year wonder guy, and people are like, you're going to take a chance on a one-year wonder and because you see a skill set there. You know? Calais Campbell was a hell of a player. I think he fell in the back end of the first round also. And just, you know, went on to have a Hall of Fame career. And Chop Robinson doesn't have a ton of sacks, but he has a ton of pressures that created interceptions, created incompletions, created sacks for others, created forced fumbles, and that's what they look at. But that's all right. All of you look at, you know, so much film. Yeah, they want a disruptor. So now we will find out what happens here in the second round. Right? Where will the Dolphins go in the second round? You figure they got themselves a pass rusher. They're not going to go get another pass rusher, are they? Maybe they will. You figure they need an offensive lineman. Well, they had a chance yesterday, and they said no. So maybe they weren't as keen at what was left on offensive line for a first-round pick. Maybe there's a guard that they like in the second round. Maybe Jackson Powers Johnson falls to them in the second round. By the way, Kyle Krabs, good call by him. He said Jackson Powers Johnson would last into the second round, maybe even to the Dolphins pick. Kyle might be right. Red Bull gives you wings. So, could they go receiver? Remember, there's a lot of receivers left. This is a very deep receiver class. They didn't take a lot of receivers. How many receivers did they take? I want to say it was 4 or 5. Yesterday, just 4 or 5, right? 6 maybe. Okay, so there's a lot of them left. I want you to think about this, as I've been telling you for a while. Now that everybody's on my bandwagon, by the way, as I told you, this is Tyreek's last year. He's done. Okay, I've been telling you this for a while. Tyreek is done. Message has been sent. He will not be back next year. It'll take a miracle for him to come back next year. I can already tell you that. Okay? I'm the guy that told you X was gone 2 years ahead of time and Byron Jones, right? I told you a year before that Wilkins was gone. You had all these people write, oh, they're going to tag him. Oh, no, they can't let him go. He's the heart and soul. And I'm like telling you that he's gone, right? Seven? Wow, seven. Still, there's a bunch left. There's still a bunch left. 7. Okay, so he's gone at the end of the year. You need a year to groom a guy. Right? You got to pay Waddle next year. Because you'll pay Waddle next year. At some point, once the next year starts, you'll start to negotiate some kind of a deal. Might happen during the season, might happen at the end of the year, whatever. There's no hurry. So do not be surprised if they take a receiver here in the second round. I mean, I want Roke. You guys know who I want? Roke or ho. Whatever. I'll learn his name if they draft him. Okay? That's who I want badly. But they could take a guard center. They could take a wide receiver. Could take a guy that is a wide receiver / returner to kind of help out. So, and here's the other option that can happen in the second round. A trade down. There's a good chance that could happen. Wasn't going to happen last night. For them to trade out of that pick, you would have had to offer them, Jesus Christ, glare. You would have had to offer them, you don't look forward, do you? Yeah, okay, that's why. Because I'm trying to look at the camera, but while I'm looking at the camera, I have the glare right there off of the hoods and all that, these nice, beautiful, shiny hoods. But, it's brutal in the eyes. So you could see a trade down also. Okay? So I know we could think of O-line, which is the obvious thing, safety, But I don't think safety will be the call there. I think safety will be later in the third day. I'm pretty sure you can see that in the third day. But tonight, if they don't go a guard center, if they don't go a D tackle, which there's going to be a couple in that area, hopefully my boy Roke is there. If Roke is there and they don't take him, I'm not going to not say, oh, I don't like the pick because I got to know what it is first. But I really want that kid. I like him a lot, man. I like him a lot. So we'll see. But they could end up taking a receiver, or they could end up taking or dropping down and trading down so they can get an extra third round pick. That I could see. So these are things you want to look at right now, because you know a lot of people might not be looking at wide receiver in the. I wasn't looking at it for their number 21. Okay. All right. Anything else? As that old song, anything goes. Yeah. After that, anything goes. And that's why I want to tell you, anything goes now in the second round, and wide receiver could be an option for them. In the second round, a trade down could be an option to pick up an extra third. So, you know, hang in there. We might have more than one pick today. We might be talking about a wide receiver that is the future with this team, along with Waddle. Okay? You know, Tyreek has no choice but to be a very good soldier this year. No matter what, even if the writing is on the wall, do you know why? He will be a free agent next year. And he will need a new team. So he will need to be on his best behavior. Comprendre? Because he's done. So, and if you see, they didn't go for any money from him in the offseason. He wasn't really a part of anybody's offseason stuff going on. He had a whole bunch of crap going. If they add a receiver, that's like fast tracking and sending messages. Just so you'll know. There's a lot deeper. If you draft a receiver, there's a lot more to it. Okay? So D tackle, guard, center, trade down, wide receiver. These are all things. And if there's a trade down, look for a safety to be one of those extra picks. There's a good chance that could happen also. Or wide receiver and tackle. Or wide receiver guard. Or guard and D tackle. That's what those picks may be. Okay? Remember, folks, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo. At Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Again, thank you all out there for joining us last night. We'll be on again tonight. I'll come on like a couple of picks before our pick. What is it, 55, right? We pick 55. I will be on by like the 51st, 52nd pick. I'll be on because it's like 7 minutes, right? It's a little faster. 5 minutes it is? It was 10 last night. Maybe it's 5. Or maybe it's 7, then 5 from there on out or some shit like that. But whatever it is, I'll be 4 or 5 picks ahead, like 20, 25 minutes before. So we can kind of, I can start telling you about the guys that I do like that are left. And then we can kind of make a better determination. And then we can go over whatever selections are made. But I do want to prepare you for what could happen today. And today could be the day where you add a defensive tackle. Like my boy Roke, okay? You could end up adding a guard, a center here. Maybe a project tackle. I doubt it. I would go more guard center. Wide receiver, as I said. Trade down is another option. And if they trade down and pick up an extra pick, it could be the positions that we talked about. And then safety, I don't think, is in the mix at all in the second round. But if you do a trade down and you get an extra pick, he could be in that mix with the extra pick. Okay? Just like, you know, Xavier Worthy was not ever going to be part of the 21. I laugh at all of you for that. I brought that up. Could they have traded back in to try to get him? Sure. They weren't at 21. They took what they wanted in Chop Robinson. Remember, you can make a donation, Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. And you can make a Bitcoin donation at the same time. Send in your questions, comments, insults, all kinds of stuff. Yes, sir.
All right. So it is 7 minutes tonight. Then it goes to 5 minutes for third through sixth and 4 minutes for the seventh round.
Okay. All right. JN, thank you for the love on the super chat. Chop looks more like Cam Wake, not downgrading Wake. Now it's up to the DC and D-line coach to maximize his abilities and development. Amen? Just like the O-line coaches. I agree. I agree, sir. Thank you very much. A-Rod, Chop Robinson was brought in for one thing only. Cheese and chop Josh Allen. Jason Taylor was deemed slow as a rookie. Oh, and too skinny. And he couldn't hold up against the run. He was injury prone. He was breaking down a little bit in the first couple years. He got a couple knickknacks here and there, and people were worried that he wasn't going to be able to hold up. That's, you know, that's how it all is, bro. I've been around long enough. I've seen it all, dude. The true Finn fan in the house, getting the chopper. The chopper. Come on, neighbor. Get in the chopper. Love it, true Finn fan. Paul Wickman, thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Easy to know who Greer's going to draft. Just check the most injury-prone college player, and that's who Chris Greer picks. Chop Robinson has no injury history. Yeah, theory doesn't fly there, bro. What happened? Chop Robinson's not an injury-prone guy. What happened to that theory?
If that was the case, one of us would have been right, right? Because Newton, that was my pick. He's got a broken foot.
And I wanted Latu.
And you wanted Latu, who both had injury.
I wanted Latu, and he's injury-prone. He hasn't been injured for the last couple of years, but he had a neck fusion, bro.
What is it with the UCLA guys? Because that's where Jalen Phillips came from, right?
Yeah.
Before he came to Miami?
Yeah.
Same thing. He was a medical retire, and then he came back.
Yeah, because of the concussion.
His was okay.
Yeah, but one of them was because it was a moped accident. It wasn't a football. you do know that, right? The Jalen Phillips one? One of the concussions was it was a moped accident. That's the one that kind of like...
It's just like everybody, like, it's the UCLA thing. It's medical retirement. It's comeback. It's wear 15. I just don't understand it all the way to where now it's like, boom. And then all of a sudden, they're first round draft picks.
Yeah. Like, meanwhile, Sidney Crosby's had more concussions than Tua and Jalen Phillips combined. And he's played for 20 years. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest players ever. But we should tell Sidney Crosby that he should have quit really early in his career when he suffered a bunch of concussions. Yeah, let's just tell him not to do what he loves to do and that he could have quit and he could have played for 14 more years. Yeah, let's tell Sidney Crosby that. Some of you out there, man, I really wonder how you get through life. Like, you never have injuries? You never have setbacks? I've worked through heart attacks. I've worked through foot surgeries. I've worked through all kinds of things. I went to work, like, days after my heart procedure. And then went back to the hospital for a second heart procedure and then came right back to work again. And I've been working for 34 years. You know how many sick days I've taken? I think it was like 4 or 5 outside of the heart thing. that I had to miss, obviously. There's something else, too. I'm trying to remember something else. I forgot. Like, I don't understand some of you out there. You never go through adversity? And you want players, and like everybody wanted Tua to, you know, not everybody, but a bunch of you wussies, because you must be wussies. You wanted Tua to quit right away. Like, you, some of you have no balls, no guts, no character, no toughness. That's what I say about you. If you wanted Tua to quit, you've got no balls, no toughness, obviously, in your world. Because if you're such a wussy for Tua, then you must be a wussy overall. You know what I'm saying? Fred Taylor had a bunch of injuries the first 4 years of his career. Then he figured out his body, and he went like on a run for 6 or 7 years without an injury. And he was very injury prone early in his career. Should he have quit? It's interesting when I spin it like that on you, right? Because there's some of you right now that are watching going, yeah, I was one of those people that was saying Tua should quit. So O is basically saying I'm a pussy. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Seriously, the goal. The lack of balls is really amazing to me for some of you. And so you, oh, he has an injury history. And so what? So when a boxer gets knocked out, he should just give up. But you got knocked out. It's over. That's it. You're never going to come back. Why? Sugar, why are you going to come back? Duran killed you. You're not going to win again. It's what we were supposed to do? Really? Wow. So Rocky was supposed to quit after Clubber kicked his ass. Then how would the movie work out then? Right, we wouldn't have gotten a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. Or Apollo, yeah. Or Creed, or whatever. You know? It's like, it's amazing. You think nobody suffers setbacks. You think they play the game of football and everybody's going to play scot-free. So Marino should have quit after the Achilles. Is that what we should have told Dan? Damn, Dan, you're not even going to repair the Achilles? Why even keep playing, dude? In fact, why did Dan Marino keep playing after the Achilles? He should have quit. It's baffling from some of you out there. Tons of players have had injuries. So they're supposed to just quit? Not come back and try? I could tell some of you never suffer any kind of setbacks, I guess. Your lives must be so beautiful. Never any adversity you face. Special. Some of you are very special, I got to say. JN, thank you, sir, for the love and the super chat. He says, I trust more the GM than the fans and media. You should. Because the fans usually don't know much, and some of the media is already lost. So, yeah. Let's see. Jason Davis says, with drafting Robinson, is the Chubb trade a bad trade for Miami? No. Why? He had 6 forced fumbles and like 10 sacks last year. He had a great year last year. Mike McDaniel screwed up his season by leaving him out on the field in a useless game, dude. That's exactly what you traded for. You know? So, I mean, and you're playing the results because he's going to miss a portion of this season. I don't play that game. He was tearing it up last year. He looked great last year. Nobody knows anything about Azukama. I'll try to find out more if I can over this weekend. If I can do that, I have not bothered to ask. So there's no way I could have any information on that. Samuel says, Big O, I've worked through a server head trauma injury with a brain tumor and then had to have a tumor removed. Shaking my head. I hear you 100%. I mean, right? We treat these players, and yet we all have to deal with shit, dude. And so you have a couple of injuries, a couple of sicknesses, whatever. You shouldn't be a teacher. You shouldn't be a producer engineer anymore, Sean. Okay? That's it. Sean's got a bad knee. Well, no, you should give up on life. Yeah. No, Sean, I mean, why are you trying, bro? Say, why did I hire Sean? He has a bad knee. I hired an injury-prone producer. You know, if I go by you guys, Sean, right, Big O Greer. That's it, Orlando Greer. He hires injury-prone producers. Why should I hire Sean? He can't move as fast as the other guy that has two knees. You know, if I go by what you guys think, you know that you'd be shitting on half the people you work with and you love, because we all suffer ailments. We got creaky backs. We got a ruptured disc. We got whatever it is. I was with Alan Blanco yesterday from 3A Graphics. Okay. Because we're setting up the store finally, now that I can walk and all that. And you know what happened to him a couple weeks ago? He tore this ligament here of his bicep. So it rolled up here, right? And so this guy has to run an entire printing company. Maybe he should sell it now. By the way, interesting fun fact he told me about. Weightlifters, they cut that ligament out. Oh, you know about this. You would. Anyway, I just found that out yesterday. So they cut that ligament out, and it helps roll up here for the muscles. Yeah, to get the little beef. And because they don't need it. I had no idea. But he's in pain, you know, for a couple weeks. Oh, well, dude, by your standards, he shouldn't run a business. Okay? I mean, God, why are you guys listening to me? Why are you even following this show? I've had a heart condition, a bad foot, an Achilles surgery. I've been effed up quite a bit here the last couple of years here. I'm a very injury-prone host. Maybe that's why I hire injury-prone producers. Interesting, right? When you look at it that way, nobody looks at it that way. That's kind of like why we're talk show hosts here, to kind of make you think, because it's kind of stupid. Lots of players suffer injuries. So did Tom Brady should have quit when he blew out the knee ligament. Well, I mean, yeah, we all would have been happier. That's true. That's a good point. It's a really good point. We would have been happy if you would have just hung it up right there at that point.
Tom would just listen to people. He's so hard-headed.
Right. Greg J., thank you for the love and the super chat. Wide receiver Keon Coleman would be a good one if we go wide receiver. I'm telling you, you could go defensive tackle here. You could go guard or center. But wide receiver is in play here at 55. The number three wide receiver is in play. And because Tyreek Hill is headed for his final year with the Dolphins, that is definitely, they may want to get a year jump to start developing a kid. So when they move on from Tyreek, the player that they draft in the second round steps in, and Waddle becomes the number one. He'll get paid accordingly, and you move on. Okay? The countdown's on. Countdown's on for Tyreek. His days are numbered. Okay? All right? I'm 3 for 3. Remember that. All right? I'm 3 for 3. I told you a year ago, Wilkins was gone. I told you 2 years ago, X was gone in 2 years, and then Byron would be gone in a year. I'm 3 for 3. Okay? I will be 4 for 4. Tyreek Hill is gone. History in the archives. Player, wide receiver is in play in the second round here. All right, let's go to David Ferronis with our Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report.
All rise, football fans, as the Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report with David Ferronis is in session.
Welt and Realm has more than 62 years of litigation experience handling insurance disputes. They are committed to resolving even the toughest insurance claims quickly. Call them for a free consultation. 954-966-4646. Here's Miami Dolphins insider, David Ferronis.
All right, all right, all right. Time to rock and roll. Welt and Realm, don't forget, call my guys, Jeff Welt, Daniel Realm. They can help you. Bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation, personal injury, 954-966-4646. Call Welt and Realm, and the consultation's free. So you can call, ask for Jeff Welt, and explain your situation, and he will tell you if you have a case or not. Good morning, Mr. Ferronis. Did you get some sleep?
Good morning. Yeah, some. I mean, it's a late night, Thursday night, and then you go into Friday, you start previewing day two, thinking about all the possibilities, and then you go for another two rounds at night. We're going to get to be introduced to Chop Robinson here, the local media, a little bit later this afternoon before the Dolphins get to making their second and third round choices. Well, just second right now. And so a long day, and then another long day Saturday, but this is what you love, draft time.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there. I went around the league a little bit, asked some folks. I did not get one bad review, mediocre, average review of Chop. Every one of my guys that I asked, they freaking love this kid. So what did you think overall of the pick? And I don't know what information you were able to gather around on top of all of that. Share, please.
Yeah, initially I wasn't the biggest fan. I just didn't think Chop Robinson at 21 would have been the pick. I was thinking of him maybe later if there was a trade down scenario. I definitely would have liked him. I was looking at those top three edge rushers when you're talking about Laiatu Latu, who ended up being the first one taken. Dallas Turner, a lot of people had him first, and we were talking Jared Verse, like you know, him and Turner would be long gone, and Latu was more of the choice, but. Interestingly enough, Latu was the first one. So as far as edge rushers by 21, I was hoping for one of those three. But I've come around to Chop Robinson. The more I think about it, the more I look into him. And, I mean, that 4.48 40 at his size, over 250 pounds to run that speed is just incredible. He's a remarkable athlete. He has a high pressure rate, so he's winning a lot, or a pass rush win rate. So he's winning a lot at the line of scrimmage, even though it hasn't translated so much into – sack numbers that aren't necessarily jumping off the stat sheet or jumping off the page, but I think he's going to start getting to the quarterback once he gets a little bit more polished with hand placement. That was one thing that he mentioned to us that he still needs to work on
right.
In order to really start getting home. So I think once he starts getting that, he gets that NFL coaching. I think the Dolphins are really going to be pleased with what they end up getting with Chop here.
And it's exactly what I got from one of my guys that saw him live a couple of times. He goes to me, saw him play live a couple of times. Good hustle, bend, obviously, like everyone, can over pursue, but his demeanor and consistent pressure stands out. And so when he talks about over pursuing at times, that's what he's talking about, that he needs to use his hands so he doesn't over pursue and he can get around them quickly instead of trying to athletically, you know, burst past them, because apparently his first step is like stupid. It's Jason Taylor-like. His first step is what I'm told. Like he when he comes off the line, it is a problem for offensive linemen, and they end up he actually forces them into penalties because he's so quick off the ball. He's super explosive. And I think that that's something that is going to be a plus for him. Once the thing is, now he gets to learn off Chubb, and he gets to learn off Shaq. I mean, you know, I know Phillips is there too, but Phillips is a youngin' himself. So I'm sure he can teach him a couple things. But really, to have Chubb and Shaq Barrett around, that's what's going to help him. And then Anthony Weaver played his position. So Anthony's going to be able to, you know, teach him. Plus, they can rush him from inside. So you could actually see all four guys on the field at one time. Why? Because Phillips and Chop have success and know how to rush from inside. So you can use Chubb and Shaq on the outsides. So you could actually see at one point, if you want, the four werewolves actually playing because Phillips and Chop have the ability to play inside, which then gives Weaver an opportunity on pass rush situations to really send the house. And this is why you also pick a guy like Chop. He can play outside and he can play inside.
Yeah, when we spoke to Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, then it was even brought up to Mike McDaniel. We were asking him, do you even see possibilities of the three of them? You know, now you mentioned four, but three of them being Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, and now Chop Robinson all together on the field at the same time. He gave us, you know, one of these, like he's a mad scientist coming up with something. And I think Anthony Weaver definitely has some of those plans in place. He also spoke, Mike McDaniel did, to the collaborative effort that went into this. So we know Anthony Weaver definitely loved this selection. He envisioned some things that he could really do with Chop. And Chop is really the player that Chris Greer said they targeted. He used the word targeted at 21. So it wasn't like, okay, oh, it was a bummer when, no. Yeah, there was a little bit of a run of some of the players we were seeing at 20. No. Troy Faltanu, who, you know, we've been a fan of as far as a prospect. I mean, if he would have been available, that would have been a home run. I think everyone would have considered. Chop Robinson was the guy that the Dolphins say they wanted at that spot that they figured would be available. So
I would have to agree with you and with Chris, because that's exactly what I'm hearing from the building. They got exactly what they wanted. They weren't they had offers to move out, but they weren't willing to move out. They wanted that kid. They wanted him badly. And then that also tells me that Weaver, this is the part I can't confirm yet, but Weaver must have been the freaking top cheerleader in the room for the kid. It must have been, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy that I think people have to understand that, you know, I think we've all learned this, right? Greer just doesn't go and pick whoever the hell he wants. He can do it, and he'll do it, but he does go to his coaches, his big coaches, and say, what do you think? Do you like this player? Give me your input. So he does take their input. So that tells me also that they, like I told you, this is why when he said three guys, you think I said Shaq Barrett just because I'm guessing? No, because, you know, I got something. And I was told that you could see that, because that's exactly what the plan is. You got a guy that can play inside and outside, and they got a Phillips who can play inside, outside. So now you got two guys that can actually disrupt from inside, and you have your two outside guys. So at one point or another, you will see all four. And that's why they wanted Chop, dude. They loved Chop. This is not like anything that they settled for or anything like that. If they were settling, they easily could have traded out, and they didn't. So that tells you right away that they wanted this kid in a bad way.
Yeah, absolutely. That third down defense that the Dolphins will have, that package that the Dolphins will be able to present, when it's third and long and you put all four of those guys on the field together, would be the scariest thing for any opposing offense, because there will be a wreckage for opposing quarterbacks on the horizon. So the Dolphins pass rush package will be feared, especially now. And assuming that Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb go through the offseason rehab that everyone hopes and for those guys, coming off the Achilles for Phillips and the knee for Chubb. And what a trio, quadrant, whatever the word would be, before some, those guys would be all on the field together. And Anthony Weaver, he can take Chop Robinson and really work on some of those things because he has developed so many defensive linemen, the way he's coached them. And, you know, edge rusher, yeah, whatever, you know, now nowadays, you know, he's going to stand up as an outside linebacker. But still, there is trench work that Anthony Weaver can work on him with, specifically that hand placement and sort of getting that that quickness controlled, where so that he can take that quick first step, that get off that's so amazing, and then he can sort of control it as he goes through and not over pursue like we've mentioned earlier.
That's the stuff that comes last. Right. Is learning how to work your hands at the top level. It's usually something that comes. That's the thing about Latu. That's where that's freakish. And when you go watch Latu, the dude already has, like, you know, 5-year veteran moves in the NFL, and you're like, whoa, what the hell is this? You know, you're like, holy shit. It's what's the name of the receiver we had here that went to the – he was drafted by the Raiders, then traded to the Cowboys, and now he's somewhere else. He's an exceptional route runner. The kid's from here. What's his name, dude? Oh, come on, man. Somebody help me out.
South Florida guy drafted by the Raiders, Cowboys?
Yeah, and he went to the Cowboys. They traded him to the Cowboys, and now he's somewhere else, I think. Now they went to somewhere else. What's his name, dude? And then you go to, like, the Northwestern? Right? A kid, come on, wait, man.
Are you talking about Amari Cooper?
Yes, Amari Cooper. Thank you. God damn it, bro. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah,
so Amari Cooper came out of college running routes like a 5-year NFL player. That's why Amari Cooper's so good. It's not that he's the most talented guy in the world. He has that. He is a technician. And so that's the beauty of a guy like Latu. That when you get him, you're like, holy crap, I don't even have to teach this guy how to play with his hands already. He knows how to play. He knows when to use his spin. He knows how to use leverage with his body, all of that kind of stuff. And that's where, like, Jason Taylor or Chop Robinson or many defensive ends, they get to the league. Dude, they don't know how to really use their bodies and the leverage and their length and all that kind of stuff. Chubb's going to teach him that now. You know, Shaq's going to teach him that now. Weaver's going to teach him that now. Now he's going to learn his lesson going up against NFL tackles on how to do all of that, you know, so because he's used to going up against college tackles. Now he's going to go up against veteran NFL tackles, which becomes a hell of a lot harder than what he was facing. So that this is normal, what Chop is going to go through, my friend. It's normal. It really is.
Yeah, and you don't have to put him in a situation where he is counted on as this day one starter that you need him, you know, now maybe one of them between Phillips and Chubb. They're not all perfectly ready to start the season, whatever the case may be. We can't predict several months down the road, but and maybe he does end up starting week one or whatever. But when all are healthy, then he still has those guys to lean on right now. And then if down the road you start seeing what is someone between Phillips and Chubb, whether this year, next year, they don't quite return a form coming off their injuries. Now you have another contingency plan so he can really be that guy down the road. And then maybe he's paired with someone else in the future, just a guy that you could really hold on to for a long time and have as a staple to the defense potentially.
I'm with you. All right, so what do you think happens here in the second round? I've been telling folks here, I think you heard it when before coming on, I think there's a chance that wide receiver is in the mix now. Because of the whole Tyreek situation, I think they could be a year ahead. So, yeah, they could take an offensive lineman, a guard, a center, which is something. They could take a D tackle, like my boy Roke, that I absolutely freaking love. I really want that kid badly in the second round. They could trade down, I think. So what's David Ferronis of the South Florida Sun Sentinel say?
There's a lot of possibilities. And I mean, we were even hearing Chris Greer was thinking about getting back into the first round at the end of last night. So, you know, there's definitely players that the Dolphins like that are probably going to not last too long into round two. So they pick at 55 right now. So you got to wait a little bit. So if they stay there, some of the guys that they want are probably going to be off the board. They can make a move to trade up. They don't have the third or fourth rounder this year to use, but they're going to have a lot of draft picks next year with all the compensatory selections coming in. So maybe that's the capital that they use. You mentioned wide receiver.
They got three thirds next year, dude. Thirds next year. All right. They'll have their first, their second, and three thirds. That's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you mentioned wide receiver, then sure, you know, Keon Coleman's there. I really like him. 6'3", obviously, you saw the catches he was able to make at Florida State. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas is still around. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia is a one option. I mean, I'm of the mindset I want to see them go into the trenches. Defensive tackle, Jerzon Newton is still there. There was a hubbub about him in round one to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean – and maybe even at 21. And then so now he's lasted into day two.
Your boy, right? Johnny Newton? That's his boy, Johnny. That's Sean. Yeah. Sean wanted Johnny Newton for the Dolphins.
Yeah, Johnny Newton, right. So, I mean, he'd be a good pick. Braden Fisk also, defensive tackle out of Florida State, who really tested off the charts at the Combine. So, Chop Robinson tested well. They want another guy up front that tested well. Then Braden Fisk could be a guy. Chris Jenkins, too, Michigan.
I get mixed reviews on Chris Jenkins.
Yeah.
Not all my guys like him, bro. Yeah. Not all my guys. Yeah. Some of the guys are saying that they're giving Chris extra love because of his dad and that he's all right, but he's probably should be taken a little later. That's what some of the guys are telling me. So I can just tell you ahead of time that I may not get great reviews on the Chris Jenkins kid, but that's just me. Anyway, what else?
Yeah, no, that's fair too. Yeah, and I mean, you look at O-line, a lot of guys, I mean, Patrick Paul, Texas out of tackle out of Houston, you know, that could be a guy, a round two tackle that I like. Christian Mahogany's a guard that I saw training down here in South Florida ahead of the combine, and I know he's a, you know, a day two type of guy.
Cooper Beebe, like, Cooper Beebe's
still there.
By the way, Cooper Beebe's another guy that if they make a trade and they pick up a couple of extra picks, a Cooper Beebe could be a guy because he plays left tackle, left guard, right tackle, right guard. He plays four positions on the line. He's actually a pretty decent player, and you know how much they love that shit. So that could be one of those guys because he's big enough to play tackle, athletic enough to play tackle, physical enough to play guard, and athletic enough to move around and pull. So he kind of might fit what they do here, you know? So that's another one of those guys you can look at. But again, you will not be able to contain me if they draft Roke. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
You won't be able to contain me.
No, and that's a good point.
Love
that. That's a good point on BB, the versatility on the offensive line, because that's a big reason why a lot of people like Graham Barton, his versatility. That's why I myself mocked him. I did like it in a trade down scenario, actually, to the spot where he went. In my mock draft, I had the Dolphins trading down with the Buccaneers and then getting Barton at 26, and Barton ends up going 26, but to the Buccaneers themselves. But Jackson Powers Johnson still there too. I mean,
good call. I got to give Kyle Krabs
mock draft process. He was
I got to give Kyle Krabs credit. He's told us on the show. He goes, I think he's going to be into the second round, possibly all the way to Miami at 55. And a lot of my guys said, yeah, he's clearly a late first rounder. So he even nailed it. And who knows? Maybe the guy lasts all the way to 55. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. A very strong lineman now. Maybe not as athletic that you want in the scheme, but I mean, still, you know, suffices it in that area. I think he's more power than his agility.
Yeah.
Christian Haynes, another one, guard. UConn, Zach Frazier to West Virginia.
All right, so
options, a lot of ways that this could go.
If it stays at 55, let me put you in an impossible position, because I'm in one. I'm going Roke or Roho. Who you going with at 55? Be ready, Sean.
Okay. 55. So you want like someone realistic that could last into 55?
Well, yeah. Apparently, I was on crack yesterday with Latu. and then verse. Neither one lasted to 21, so I was way off on that. Right. So I failed there. At least your guy's still around. You could have taken Johnny Newton at 21, but then again, you could have traded down and waited for Johnny Newton, apparently. We missed on our first round pick. So we are going to go with our second round pick. So let's fail all together. Since I'm going to fail forward fast, I want you to fail forward fast in Cam Cameron fashion. So give me one name and one name only in the second round for the Miami Dolphins if they stay at 55.
Okay, staying at 55. So I'm going to bypass a couple of my top targets, thinking they go before then. And I'm going to just go ahead and say Braden Fisk, defensive tackle, Florida State.
Okay.
How about if he's there? And I'll give you one on offense too. I'll go I'll go Patrick Paul for the tackle. Let's say he ends up at 55 and they go there. Before then, Newton would be a choice. I didn't mention Cooper DeJean. He's still there into the second round.
The corner, so. Yeah.
Right, corner, but he's versatile. He could be like a Swiss Army knife in the back end. Anthony Weaver might want to use him like a Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore. So, he's lasted in a day too. So I'd imagine he might be one of those targets that Greer was talking about, thinking about getting into the back end of the first round and now maybe trying to trade up in the second round. So, so much can happen.
Okay. Sean, give me a pick. What do you think?
Christian Haynes, Connecticut.
Yeah, I like that pick. UConn. I like it. I like that pick. Yeah, that would be like right there with BB, right there. I like Haynes. I probably could take Haynes in front of BB. I don't have a problem with that. That's a good one. I like that, Sean. All right, there you go. So what do you got going on the Sentinel leading up to the draft so Dolphins can check you out, my friends?
Yeah. Covered the Chop Robinson selection last night, obviously. So a bunch of stuff up on our site on that. And we'll get to know him a little bit more on a personal level today before round two. So I'll have more Chop Robinson coverage and then build up into day two. So a lot of stuff we talked about, what the Dolphins might do, O-line, D-line, wide receiver, all these different possibilities, trades, break that down. And then whoever the picks are, I got you covered.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidFaronis_ and catch his work there at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. As always, my brother, appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up on Tuesday and we'll get a recap.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
You got it. There you go. The great David Faronis. Call the great Jeff Welt and Daniel Realm. They are the best in the business. 954-966-4646. Consultations completely free. Their offices are beautiful offices are in Hollywood. Bankruptcy, personal injury, homeowner property damage, commercial litigation, condo damage, business owner claims, criminal defense. They can help you in any of this. 954-966-4646.
This has been another session of the Welton Rayome Miami Dolphins Report with David Faronis. At Welton Rayome, they don't get paid unless you win. They handle complex personal injury claims caused by the fault of another in both state and federal courts. They handle auto, trucking, motorcycle, slip and fall, and bicycle accidents. Call 954-966-4646. Welton Rayome can help.
All right, let's go over some of the Super Chats. And remember, Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. We'll go over them now. Paul Wickham, thank you for the love in the Super Chat. Tannehill did more with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry than Tua could with Tyreek and Waddle and a Chan. He calls him Acne, but it's a Chan. Okay, Paul, I love the donation. Sean and I appreciate it, really. That's a fucking stupid statement, bro. My God, that's a dumbass statement. That's a king-size stupid statement. Paul, let's talk in an educated way about football, my friend. You're talking about the Tennessee team. Ah, that glare is brutal. You're talking about that Tennessee team that Tannehill was winning playoff games by throwing 70 and 80 yards? Is that what you're talking about, Paul? Because they stick with the run and Derrick Henry, who would get 170 and 200 yards, and what, he was the offense? Is that what you're talking about, Paul? Because, you know, I mean, if Mike McDaniel was running it, he would abandon Derrick Henry. Seriously, dude, if you think Tannehill was the straw stirring the Tennessee Titans drink, remember what I say, right? People watch the games, but they really don't know what they're watching. Paul Wickman, dude, I really appreciate the donation, but you know what? You're paying for an education, because since you have none, let's give it to you, Paul. My brother, please don't be saying stuff like this in public. It's embarrassing. It shows that you know nothing about football. Do you think that in 1973, when they won the Super Bowl that day, do you think it was behind the arm of Greasy? Or was it behind the defense? Zonka, Kick, and Morris. Nothing against Greasy. Love Greasy. Hall of Famer. But what really happened that day? What really happened throughout that season? Don Shula said, I have a dominant defense. I have a dominant running game. Why am I going to throw the ball a lot? Mike Vrabel said, I have a dominant defense. I have a dominant running game. I don't have a franchise quarterback. Why am I going to throw the ball a lot? I can win games with him winning by throwing 70 yards and 100, 130 yards. Do you not remember, Paul? So I love the donation. I appreciate it. But I'm going to correct you no matter what. I'm not going to kiss your ass because you're making a donation. And you're saying something incredibly stupid and uneducated. And it doesn't fly here. You might get away on one of the chats because I may not see it. But if you super chat something stupid, you're kind of highlighting your stupidity. Thank you, Paul. But that was dumb. Anyway, Paul again. He told Bosch to hang it up over the clots. Tua has a grand seizure on the field and is still playing. Yes. Well, the blood clots, again, you're not a doctor either. Wow, Paul. Whoa. Maybe he stayed at a Holiday Inn. Maybe. You're going to compare blood clots to a concussion. Paul, retire, bro, for a little while here. Just retire. Don't say anything. Just sit back, and maybe you'll learn a little bit more about sports before you actually talk. George Caravaggio. Thank you for the love on the super chat, sir. That is very kind of you. Appreciate you immensely. I can't believe somebody actually thought that Tannehill was the guy winning in Tennessee. Oh, my God. That's funny. Eric Nordstrom, thank you for the Cash App, sir. Appreciate you immensely. Thank you. Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Jonathan Acosta. Thank you, sir. How about them cats? Potential dynasty. Yes, sir. So let me see. View personalized note. I've never seen this. Very cool. How about them cats? Potential dynasty in the making. Love the show. Wishing you both much health and blessed weekend. John Pantham Anthem Singer. This is John the Panthers Anthem Singer. All right. Dude, let me tell you something, Jonathan. No, you're not on camera. Don't worry about it. The camera's aimed at me, so you're fine. Don't worry about it. You know, Jonathan, what we're watching is what I said before, is we're watching a changing of the guard. And now people can really see it because it's up 3-0. I mean, Florida's the better team, okay? The Lightning are great. They have legendary players, you know? They got a goaltender that is a god. You know what I'm saying? They got guys. But this team is better. And Dynasty, this is 5 straight years of making the playoffs. You've now been to the finals. Now you've got a chance to really win it in the finals. You know, we're going to get a little ahead of ourselves of Dynasty. But because you got to win 3 to call it a Dynasty. So let's first get to 1 and then we can start talking about two, and then we can then start getting into the dynasty talk. But you're not getting the dynasty if you don't do what you've done the last 9 years. You know what I'm saying? So I am with you 1,000% because Viola and Seifert, listen, I got nothing but praise for these guys constantly at their commitment, at their, I mean, I've praised them for everything that they've done, how they've committed to their players. I use them as an example to the Marlins, who are a bunch of little whiny bitches that all they do is complain and point fingers, yet they never do anything on their own. Yet the Panthers make every commitment and point no fingers. None. Even when they were committed a couple of years ago and signing their players and all, and they still weren't getting the packed houses yet. But they understood they had to turn the corner and prove to people. They didn't point fingers. They just kept their heads down. They kept working, and they kept building the right way. Viola and Sifu get it. Caldwell is an ass kicker. This is a great organization. And then you get Paul Maurice to be the guy that really changes the culture, the way they had to get to become more physical because they were too finesse, right? They were just way too finesse and easily pushed around. God, I would get pissed to watch Trocheck just get trashed by everybody, and we did nothing, dude. Now, you mess with our players, we're going to F you up. And I love it now. So, way ahead of ourselves for Dynasty, but the foundation to get to Dynasty is what's being built. So, I'm with you, man. The Cats are for real. So, thank you, Jonathan Acosta. I appreciate you. Deep Gwynn, thank you. Made a Bitcoin donation. Love it. Love it. Nothing like a Bitcoin donation, man. Appreciate that, man. That is very nice of you, sir. Very nice of you. You know, I love my Bitcoin donations, man. Nothing beats that. Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. I really cannot believe somebody thought it was Tannehill that was doing any kind of winning in Tennessee. Oh, my God. John Acosta. Thank you for the love and the super chat. Great take on the Cats. Thanks again. Appreciate you, my man. Cats are just, they're impeccable. Big O, I never realized that many in the chat are expert GMs as well as doctors. So impressive. I know, right? A blood clot. I don't think he realizes how debilitating the blood clot is. How it could like actually like kill your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like weirdest thing.
Brooklyn Rob says Paul needs a Snickers bar.
Paul needs a huge break, bro. Paul needs a huge break. We love you, Paul, but my God, Paul. I don't care about stats. Tannehill and big moments doesn't look like it. He doesn't? All right, Paul, I get it now, bro. You're a drug addict. I got it, bro. You got problems with alcohol. I got it, bro. You got issues. It's all right, bro. You know, there is places you can get help, Paul. There really is. I mean, Tannehill doesn't look like a deer in headlights. Did he watch what got him benched?
Don't look at the facts.
Oh, God.
He also came back with...
I don't know if I can take any more Paul Wickham.
Chop has bust written all over him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's plenty of people can, you know, you can throw that out. That stuff is unrealized. He could be right and he could be wrong on that one. The other stuff, he's completely wrong and completely dumb. We take a break. Hour number two is next.